Marianne, thanks once more for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
So there was a new bill that was unveiled having to do with people who were trying to sue the government. And what it did was it generated a really interesting quote in a hearing today. Maybe you could tell us about that.
Yeah. It's, you know, you never know what's going to be behind a bill. And unfortunately, most of the time we don't find out. You know, there's always that sort of, well, who's pushing this? What constituent wants this to happen? What are you worried about? Every once in a while, there's sort of a conspiracy theory that goes along behind these bills. So this morning, it's HB 407. It's Litigation Transparency Act, and this is Representative Jake Anderegg. Mm-hmm. He's Utah County area. So the idea behind this bill is that if you were to sue, let's say they pass a law, and you decide, you know what, I don't like that law. I think that infringes on some right or my property rights or whatever the reason is.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm going to sue the government because I think this bill is bad. I think this law is bad. You have the right to do that. You know, as a citizen, you can say, you know, I disagree with this law, and you can take that to court.
Sure.
Under this bill, what he is proposing is that then the suee, you know, which would be like the government or a municipality or an authority or whatever, could file a motion and say, well, I need to know who's paying for your lawsuit.
Okay, so when you say I need to know who's behind that lawsuit, who's funding that lawsuit, that begs a lot of questions, especially when you look at, say, nonprofit groups that are engaged in this kind of litigation.
There's a lot of questions about this. I mean, first of all, you know, very few people file a lawsuit or very few organizations file a lawsuit and fundraise solely on that lawsuit or identify funds specifically for a lawsuit.
Right.
They're typically memberships, they're general donations or whatever. You take the ACLU, which probably is an organization that you could look at as an organization that typically may file suit against a law that they find is unconstitutional or that they believe is unconstitutional. Well, they don't fundraise for a lawsuit. They fundraise just in general for membership and supporting donors for the ACLU.
And there is an interesting quote that came out of this that that kind of describes the impetus behind the bill. It's kind of a unique quote.
It is. So there was a lot of question by committee members about, okay, why? You know, what are we worried about? Why do we need to get this information? You know, isn't this attorney-client privilege and so forth? And Jake Anderegg says, well, you have people getting funds from nefarious sorts. You've got a Vladimir Putin who doesn't want exploration in the eastern part of Utah. You're going to get people who are back-channeling for various nefarious reasons.
Okay, so you've got Vladimir Putin coming over, and he doesn't want to see drilling in the eastern part of Utah.
Yeah, who knew? I didn't realize that was a real focus of his, but it's good to know.
I mean, was he saying this as an example, or was it really a deep-seated?
It's hard to say. The bill ended up not passing committee. It was sent back probably to be discussed during interim because there were just still so many questions. There were questions about whether it's even constitutional to do this. Is this violating a First Amendment right? Is it violating attorney-client privilege? How far can you actually take something like this? Is it even constitutional? So it was sent back. We'll see if it shows up during interim, if it's just sent to interim to sort of die a slow death.
Okay, well, let's turn from that to something else that happened involving Jake Anderegg as well, which was a motion having to do with Speaker Becky Lockhart's Medicaid bill. This is on the House floor today.
Right. So this is on the floor, and this is what you start seeing towards the end of the session. We're on Friday. This is the end of the last full week. Next week, there's only 4 full days and nights because it tends to be very long days. But, you know, they're running out of time. The clock's ticking. Committees are over essentially at the end of today. So they're trying to get things passed. The Speaker's Medicaid bill was an interesting one today. I mean, this is an example of one of those bills that needs a lot of discussion. It has a lot of emotion on both sides. It has a lot of opinions. The House is not united behind this bill. And so typically when you have a bill like that, certainly a bill that's controversial, it can take up a good deal of floor time discussing it. Well, today, the bill was presented, and 2 representatives were able to speak on the bill, and then Representative Anderegg stood up and called the question. And just so people understand what calling the question is, it means that he's basically saying that we go to the motion, that we vote on whether or not this bill should pass.
It's kind of a rushing into the process of voting.
Right, exactly. And you see it sometimes. I mean, sometimes it makes sense to do this. If they're just going on and on and on about something and it's not a controversial issue, it's not really even, you know, a question of whether or not it's going to pass or not. It's probably, you know, already a done deal. Sometimes they'll call question just to move on, just to get farther down the calendar. But this is a case where they were calling the question because they wanted to get the vote on. They wanted to move on. They wanted to pass it and not have any reason why people people would maybe vote against it.
It's kind of an end around.
It is. Okay. It is. And
so what happened?
So fortunately, that part didn't pass. But it's interesting how that played out, too. So he called the question. They do what's called a voice vote. And you'll have, you know, motion to, you know, call the question. And everyone who's in favor of that will say aye, and they'll yell it. I mean, it's very funny. It's, you know, it gets very loud and raucous. And everyone who is against that will say no. And again, no, you know, and they'll loud and they'll trying to make their voices boom. Well, the speaker called that it was in favor of the ayes. Okay. In other words, to call the question and vote. And they called for a division, which if you question that the voice vote is accurate, because, I mean, it's a voice vote. It's
people
pretty
are, people sometimes are yelling.
Sometimes it's really easy to tell. I mean, there's such a disproportionate number, and there's like, no, you know, this little tiny.
The who's and who.
Yeah. But they called a division, and it failed, you know, by quite a margin. So really, the yeas were a very small margin. And then because of that, one of the representatives, Representative Johnny Anderson, stood up and made some comments about that this was not the bill, this was not being presented the way that it had been presented in their closed caucus. And he made a motion to circle, which passed. So it's kind of on hold. It kind of put it in limbo a little bit.
What actually happens when a bill gets
circled? Well, so they have to make a motion to uncircle it, and then the body votes again whether or not they want to uncircle it. If they uncircle it, then it can come back for discussion and you know, kind of pick right back up where it was. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes they circle and they're maybe just a clarifying question. They may get asked something, or they may know that something's coming up, and they'll say, you know, motion to circle this bill, and then they'll take it back and they'll get some, you know, either advice from counsel or whatever, make sure that they have their votes in line. But, you know, it also is a way to just make a bill stop being discussed.
Right. And today, the sort of crafty way of trying to force this legislation through didn't end up working.
Right, exactly.
That's very interesting. So we have just, as you said, 4 full days left of the legislative session. How far have we come? Let's maybe compare it to last year.
Sure. So last year we passed 524 bills the entire session. So for the entire 45 days, 524 bills. This year, so we have 4 days left, we've only passed 210.
Oh, we've got some.
So it's much, much less than typical. Usually at this point, we would be, you know, approaching 400. So it's going to be interesting. You know, there's always been the last couple of years, we've heard a call from both the governor and from the speaker for fewer bills.
Right. To pass less. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting if we see that, you know, as a result of maybe some of the earlier budget talks and taking that first week and a half to talk about appropriations and to talk about the money allocations. You know, maybe we're actually going to see fewer bills. You know, I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, we do pass an awful lot of bills. We tweak an awful lot of code. I mean, code is already enormous and it's complex. And a lot of these things, you know, have unintended consequences with other code. You know, maybe we should take a little slower approach to writing laws and crafting laws that are going to impact everyone.
Sounds like a smart idea. Well, Marianne Martindale, Executive Director of Alliance for Better Utah, thanks once more for coming in.
Thank you.
And good luck with the upcoming
last week.
That's right, last week.